Hello, welcome to Bagel Tech Mac. After a very heavily delayed start, do apologise. It's all Greeny's fault for not getting here on time. It's got nothing to do with the audio trouble that we did or didn't have. That was or wasn't my fault. Honest. We're here for the Mac Show. Discuss the week's news in Mac. Not much of it, however. Joining me, the usual fantastic panel, Don McAllister, top left from Liverpool. How's it going, mate?
Good afternoon. It's going fine. It's going fine. Just breathe deeply, you, and it'll be okay.
We're all calm now.
No, it's been a good week. Very busy week, as usual. I'm working on a super secret project that I can't tell you about, but that's taken up most of my time this week. But sorry to be so secretive, but you'll find out about it in about 2 or 3 weeks, hopefully.
Right. Okay. So hush, hush. Come back in 3 weeks' time, and you'll find out what Don's been doing.
Yeah.
With his copy of iCreate.
Still here.
Still there.
Oh, yeah, still there, yeah. Haven't opened it since last week.
We can't, that's why.
No, all right then.
Next to him, we've got Alex Fox joining us short notice. Thank you very much. Stepping in for Kyle, who's with a customer, apparently, this evening.
Yeah, I can't believe he'd put work above Bagel Tech.
Well, I don't understand that myself, to be honest. But
I've lost a fortune today to make sure I was here.
I love you, mate. Thank you very much. Have you actually taken any photographs this week?
Yeah, a couple.
I took some for Paul in the chat room, and then I haven't done any others. That's been a really quiet week. It's been a really quiet month. If anyone needs any photography out there, then do give me a shout.
I'm fine as well, thanks.
You're good, no, it's all right, mate. Beneath him, we've got Andrew, Dr. Happy Mac, who's busy, 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 and on a connection that looks like it's dial-up.
That's weirdo, isn't it? Bonkers. I am actually in the middle of a super secret project.
Well, that doesn't mean you need crap video.
Why not?
In case I see the board behind your head, yes. But go on, what's your super secret project about then?
Perhaps the second word in the title might be. What I'm actually doing at the moment is downloading all the mature content on the internet for Will.
And that's hence the bitrate that's gone down, because your bandwidth's been sapped up.
Yeah.
Jolly good.
Is that the wobbly bitrate?
Points in the chat room, has your landlord cut the phone lines due to non-payment of bills? And Gaz reckons that you look like a Doctor Who creature, which I've got to say, actually.
I'm trying to match the top bit here with the bottom bit here as a sort of matching oval of, oodness, I guess.
There's a word for that when someone has a matching hairy face that's top and bottom, but I can't say the word. That's the trouble.
Wrong.
Don't say the word, because I'm not editing video this weekend. And last but by no means least, Will Green.
Hello.
Tales from the bedroom.
Tales from the bedroom. Yes. There's not many tales up in here anymore, actually.
Do you know, as soon as I said that, I thought to myself, I shouldn't have started that conversation, should I? How's your week been? Last week,
I haven't had a bit in about 2 years. Like 2 bloody years, I reckon.
I'm sorry, isn't she about to drop?
I was going
to
say, that's
that's a bit worrying.
I would get a DNA test then come 17th.
Oh, yeah, no, except for that one. Yeah, of course. I mean, that was a job of work, wasn't it? Rather than more the leisure shag.
What, you mean you got paid?
Uncle Will.
No, that was, no, I had...
I need another baby. He's a fiver.
I had a job to perform, which actually, I have to be honest with you, I performed it extremely well. Even though I'd say it myself.
Oh, my life.
First time every time. The green bean does the job. It really does.
The green's bean. Jolly good. No, my second daughter was the same thing, mate. I'm gearing myself up to a long, long period of trying, and first month, damn. That's it. The week in Apple. There you go. Do you want to hear it again? Nothing's happened apart from Apple are suing everyone, aren't they?
There's a couple of other things as well. Well, let's talk about the suing things first, then.
The suing things. Did you have some, Andrew? You had a rant, didn't you, or something?
Oh yeah, but we'll do that in a bit. But there's a new Lexmark printer drivers for Lion and Snow Leopard released.
Is that what gave you wood this week, mate?
Yep. That's good. New printer drivers are always there.
Oh, Lexmark!
It's good. And, oh no, yes, just Lexmark. That's it.
But that's the total sum of the Apple news, is new Lexmark printer drivers.
For Lion and Snow Leopard.
Update for Camera Raw.
I do. Yeah, there was an update for Camera Raw, that's right. Never mind.
That's really good, isn't it?
So the suing thing. Apple have sued Samsung to get the Galaxy Tab removed at the 7-inch one, not just the 10-inch one now, and it got pulled down off IFA. They shut the stall at IFA last week, so that's a bad thing, surely.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, right. Next story, you bastards.
hasn't that today been upheld or something? So it's all official now.
Yeah, no.
It was a bit wobbly, wasn't it? But now they've actually pushed it through.
So. It was a wobbly lawsuit.
Yeah.
Well, constantly referred to in the High Court, I gather. This lawsuit, my lud's a bit wobbly. No, they had it taken down, and the 7-inch tablet has got absolutely nothing to do with the iPad, so I've no idea why they've objected to this. But having said that, Samsung do seem to be on a bit of a mission to piss people off. Did you see their BlackBerry lookalike?
Oh really?
Yeah, they've got a QWERTY keyboardy thing, and they've got the QWERTY keyboard's got exactly the same font on it, and all of the numbers are in the same location, and the volume button looks identical, and it's laid out exactly the same as a BlackBerry, like the curve, and they've also released one this morning under something for cricket, and it's spitting image of a Nokia. They are. I think once they realised that they were upsetting Apple with the lookalikes, they've gone on this mission. To just, well, let's piss everyone off then.
Do you know what they need to do now?
Go.
Is basically, given that he's a bit wobbly at Apple, is they just need to come and make a massive job offer for Johnny Ives. Imagine him moving to Samsung.
Really?
That would be like...
Why don't they just make a clone of Johnny Ives? They could have a medical project, couldn't they?
Well, they must be saving millions on research and development because they don't research or develop anything.
That looks good, we'll have that. Right, here we go.
Samsung's R&D department's a bloke with a pack of cards.
That's people a bloke go in there with Google. Lunch.
Sorry?
It's a bloke with Google.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it just goes through, I don't know, I can't think who sells phones now. Phones are Us or whatever, and he just looks at the homepage and goes, okay, right, and writes that down and draws a picture.
I mean, these things are... someone's put in the chat room that they're researching espionage. They're not. They're just photocopies. They go down to the local phone store and copy them. That's it.
Now, this is the news that came out today. Apple wins permanent ban on German sales of Samsung tablet. So it's not just... When I said wobbly, I meant temporary. But it looks like they've now got a permanent ban on it.
I wasn't picking you up on your legal knowledge, mate. I was fine with it. I talk about lots of things that are wobbled. Is that Andrew's secret mission, says Paul. Now, Andrew, didn't you have a Mac user group thing this week?
In spirit, if not in actuality, yes.
Hang on, because I got a tweet from Paul saying, ready to kick off the, the Mac user group? Cotswold Mac user group.
The group, yes.
So what you're saying is you and Paul sat in a pub and did nothing.
There was four of us there.
Well, that's half the population of the Cotswolds.
Did you call him the Mac Loser Group?
The Cotsmug.
That's it, yes.
How many were you expecting then?
Two.
And you got four?
Well, how many people would you expect to go down the pub on a Wednesday night to talk about Macs?
I'll be there.
Oh, I don't know. There's five here for a start.
No, I mean, I think the kind of run-up was a bit poor in terms of, you know, I was away on holiday and away and stuff, and I don't think we put enough oomph behind letting people know about it. So it's kind of like that was the beta launch or alpha launch. I think we're going to come back and try as a sort of more solid launch next month.
You're lucky Apple didn't launch something to try and scupper your launch.
Yeah,
that's normally what happens, isn't it? I'm surprised they didn't launch the iPhone 5 just to make sure no one turned up in the pub.
No, they'll be next. Well, that's very next month, won't it? They'll be now. They've known what we can do.
Yeah, exactly.
They'll be bloody thinking, God, we've got a stamp on this before it gets out of hand.
We don't talk about Mac user groups very often, but I think it's lovely. I think I remember when I was a kid and I had a Spectrum, and I went to this specky group. A local sort of village hall type thing, and it was great. It was really fun to talk about computers, which were pretty new at that time, you know, affordable computers, and that sort of stuff's been lost to the modern era. But except for Macs, us Mac users, we've still got that social side, which we love them so much that we get together, don't we?
Is that because there's the lack of affordability in them?
I don't know. I think it's the passion. I really genuinely think it. We love them so much, and we want to share. It's like at home, if you talk about your computer, your wife tends to ignore you or your partner or something because it gets a bit dull. And it's lovely to communicate with people who are of a like mind. Isn't it?
As dull as yourself, yeah.
Birds of a boring feather.
Nothing boring about Macintoshes. Exciting. World of excitement.
You know when they called you a specky git, they weren't referring to your spectrum, Will. That wasn't it.
Yeah, now they're calling the old man
in the Mac. It would have been a massive coincidence, though.
It would, wouldn't it? Godbrew in the chat room says he was looking forward to going. However, there was a repeat of Heidi High on and he couldn't make it. And
you see, that's the sort of quality entertainment that we're up against.
It is. It's Wednesday night prime time.
Yeah, and all they need to do is bring back Allo Allo and we're absolutely buggered.
Well, the London Mac user group would go under with Allo Allo back, most definitely. Yeah. Russ has said, I would have got there, but he doesn't drink and drive. So... no beer, no point. I think it's the argument there. We've done the suing thing.
Yeah, we've done the suing
thing. It's boring, isn't it? So
it's the charity thing.
You were now, yes. The first thing that Tim Cook's done is give a pile of money away. Mm. 10 grand per US Apple employee.
Sack him! Christ, I'll tell you what. If I was Steve Jobs, he'd be out on his ear by now. Yeah. The first thing he does, he give a load of money away.
A new regime.
I know.
You can just see that Steve Jobs is sitting on, getting well soon, with his head in his hands going, I should have employed Carol Bartz. I should have had Carol Bartz for the job. At least she'd be swearing now. Tim Cook's given away 10 grand per employee for every US Apple employee, and he wants to expand it to the whole world on a matched basis. So if you give a donation of a dollar, they give a dollar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say that Steve Jobs would happily have given 10 grand per Apple employee. He would have just given it from each employee.
That's harsh.
Yeah, you've got to take a pay cut. No, but in a funny way, that does go towards what we've been saying for a little while, that, you know, even Mac lovers are starting to get a bit twitchy with the way the company's being perceived.
Mm.
And there's no better way than saying, Genghis Khan, if he'd have given money to charity, people would have been a bit more understanding of his, his antics. So, it's a tried and tested method of trying to get people back on side.
Well, I mean, Genghis Khan gave an awful lot away, but most of it was shagging through most of East Asia. So, I mean,
yeah, aren't we all related to 8%
of the Chinese population can trace their lineage back to his DNA.
Well, maybe in 500 years, everyone can look at their phone and trace their lineages back to the iPhone or something. But they can look at Samsung now and trace their lineage back to the iPhone.
And Andy, are you aware of the fact that every time you move your head, you sound like you've got a set of maracas?
Oh, is that where it is?
I have got a set of maracas.
Oh, you have? My mistake. I do apologise.
Honestly, you're assuming everything all the time. Who would possibly have a set of maracas in their office?
Every time you move, it's like there's a set of maracas going off.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh. And you've waited until the week we've done video not to frigging shave.
No, I do that every Friday.
Oh, okay.
And Thursday, and then Wednesday, Tuesdays as well, actually. And most Mondays.
What would happen if we did a DNA profile on a 50-mile radius around Will, says Mr.
Well, I hate to say it myself, but that was back in the day, wasn't it?
Four, look at the maracas on that guy. There you go. Did you see Apple 27-inch Thunderbolt displays with MagSafe chargers?
Yeah, they've been shipped now, aren't they? Or at least I think they've been delivered to stores. I don't know if anyone who's ordered one has actually received one as yet.
Well, what's happened is they, do you remember the patent dispute a couple of weeks ago where they showed the back of this dome tablet with a MagSafe connector into it and everyone went, oh, a tablet that charges off MagSafe, very good. And it's obviously the back of these things because they actually looks identical to the drawing that they gave in. It's just the drawing was a bit kind of kid's hand sketch thing. But MagSafe on the back of these has got to be a positive, surely. Get away from
Yeah, that's really lane. Good. Yeah.
How's that work then?
Well, basically, the Thunderbolt port now on the 27-inch displays, the power supply is no longer a plug-in lead. It's a MagSafe adapter. So you get a MagSafe connector that goes into it.
So that's the MagSafe is the power supply outside the new screen and it's delivering the power to the screen, or is the MagSafe adapter now delivering the full mains voltage to the screen?
It's delivering the full voltage to the screen. But it doesn't say...
Because Apple and their connectors to computers, they have been absolutely so solid until now.
Well, what they're saying is that, I mean, they don't actually say whether there's a separate power adapter that's coming, but it's got to, because it shows on the picture that on the story that I got from Apple Insider, Mac Rumors, it shows the connector coming out of the power supply and into the back of into the side of the iMac or the 27-inch display with a Thunderbolt cable linked to it. So it's a single all-in-one cable with a Thunderbolt as well as. So whether that's just relay power or whether it's from a
side. On the actual Apple website, there's a picture of the back of the Thunderbolt display, and there are two separate cables, one of which is a mains power cable. The actual connector where it goes into the display is actually hidden. You can't see it. But to me, that looks as though it's just a standard power cable. But the MagSafe connector comes out so you can charge up your Mac, your laptop, just as you would normally.
Just like the old displays then.
Yeah, I can't see any special MagSafe adapter on the actual display itself.
If you pull really hard on the second cable, it doesn't come out.
Why not?
I don't think it's supposed to. But
there are two cables.
There's two cables. If you pull hard on the power cable, that comes out. But if you get mistaken and start pulling really hard on the wrong cable, as hard as you like, it doesn't come out.
Yeah, now it looks as though it's just a standard mains cable. And there are two built-in cables. One is a Thunderbolt cable to go to your Thunderbolt device. And the other is a MagSafe cable so you can charge up your laptop from your display. But I think the display itself still has a standard power cable.
Mm. That's what I'm saying, though, because it's really easy to get confused between the two. Mm-hmm. You unplug the power cable from the back of your monitor, but if you get confused and start pulling really hard to the other one doesn't come out. I've tried it.
You've wrecked one.
I haven't wrecked it, but I was pulling quite hard until I realised what I was pulling the wrong cable.
Didn't do it much good.
It didn't do much good at all. I'm quite pleased they pinched it, actually.
maybe there's a thief somewhere going, I'm going to take this back.
It
doesn't freaking work. It's crap.
Yeah. So I think you're wrong there, Ewan. By the sounds of it, I don't think anything's changed.
Well, it does say that it comes with built-in Thunderbolt and MagSafe connections.
Yeah, but then the old display came with built-in MagSafe connection.
Is it MagSafe out, though? Is that the point?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's taking the mains power from the main supply, mm-hmm. and then it's outputting it via the transformer to the same wattage and voltage that you need for your charging your battery.
I've got to say, guys, it's not like me to be wrong on a story.
Well, no, I mean, I appreciate it. That's why I'm making such a big deal out of it, because it's so unusual.
Don, don't laugh so hard. Jesus.
You're never wrong.
Oh.
Moving along.
Did you see Shake to Undo?
Shake to Undo.
Yeah, there's a guy who's come out with an application that you can download for Lion that, like you've got with your iPhone, where you can shake to undo your typing. If you make a mistake, you can pick your laptop up and shake it, and it undoes it.
That might give that a miss.
Has it got a proximity sensor in the laptop?
Sudden motion sensor equipped Apple notebooks will have this shake to undo.
I thought that was purely if you're about to drop it on the floor, it did something like stopping the hard drive.
Well, that was Toshiba's technology, wasn't it? They had a.
Oh, I hope they sue them.
They had a motion sensitive thing that wherever you moved your laptop, it picked the scribe off the platter so that you couldn't scratch it. But this thing, it does effectively control Z by picking the computer up and shaking it. I presume it's more oriented towards the solid state market, but
that beggars the question, which has never occurred to me. Why don't MacBooks have geotagging and stuff built in? You know, if you can fit it into an iPhone, and it's obviously not very expensive because even cheap phones have GPS in it, why don't you have GPS in a MacBook? I want to know now.
I have no idea, mate.
I think it's...
Because that would be quite handy.
I think it's got to come. I mean, there's a limited sort of... By using the Wi-Fi triangulation, it does do that to a limited extent, so that when you're setting your time, you can get it to pick up where you are automatically, and it does that by Wi-Fi triangulation to see where it is. But I think I've seen that there are things within Lion that aren't switched on or are hidden away that do refer to not just, you know, find my iPad or find my iPod, but eventually you will, you know, there'll be a find my Mac option as well. So I think it's definitely on the cards, but they've just not come out as yet with it.
For anybody who has had their Mac stolen as well, it'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? Mm. You could just say, here it is.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
There was one of my followers has tweeted out this morning that his wife's iPhone is showing up on his Mac as being at an apartment somewhere, some nondescript apartment, unquote, and she's supposed to be at a jobs fair. So that's the downside.
There's two different ways of getting a job, isn't there?
Didn't say what type of job exactly.
Yeah, can it?
Maybe she's getting paid.
She's going for a promotion.
Something's up, definitely.
Not in Will's bedroom.
No, not anymore. Not anymore.
Do you remember that the iPod Touch was introduced this week in 2007? It's 4 years old.
Mm.
Which signals the fact that there should be a bloody event. What's happened to the event, Don?
Well, it's coming soon, isn't it? Well, we said event in September and launch in October, so we're only in the first week of September.
You didn't say that, Don. You did not say that. You said the event on the 7th. You didn't say sometime in September at all.
The 7th. Ah, well, you know, I was under pressure. I was told to come up with a date, and you know, that's all I could do.
Will, if you were here earlier, you'd have heard that Don's been busy, so he hasn't had time to give his permission yet.
On my super secret project, that's right. Yeah, perhaps wait until I get that out of the way first.
It's in the list of emails.
What is this super secret project then, Don?
I can't tell you. It's super secret.
Why? Go on.
His words of Andrew.
I'll tell you my super secret project if you tell me yours.
Did you notice my video's better now, isn't it? Because if I finish, Will, it's all here when you want it.
What? I can't hear what you said, Maraca boy. What?
I said my video's better now. I finished downloading Will's stuff.
My stuff? Oh, yes.
Oh, there is some stuff.
So that was all the mature stuff off the internet you've downloaded in 20 minutes. You must have a hell of bandwidth over there. So.
That's not bad at all. 12 petabytes, petaflops or whatever it is, yeah?
Petafloppies.
Is it the same, right?
It's conceptually. Get ready on the hover button.
What do you know about conception again? Well, go on. Sorry, say again.
I was going to say, is it the same looking at a woman from 1950 who's 20, right? Or looking at a woman from 2011 who's, what would that be? 61? Older. Is it the same thing?
Looking at her picture from the 50s.
Apart from your maths is terrible.
I don't understand the question.
She was born in 1930, but apparently she's only 61 now.
That'd be right, wouldn't it? So what is the answer then?
Well, that would be wrong, but what's the question?
Conceptually, right? Looking at a woman, right?
Who's?
From 1950, a picture of her from 1950, and looking at the same... Oh, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
I hope it doesn't matter, because I'm lost. If that matters, I'm really in trouble.
I just don't think it needs an answer. It's like saying if you're looking at a young, pretty girl, a picture of a young, pretty girl, or looking at a picture of an old, haggard woman, are they the same thing?
Yeah. So are you attracted to the person or the way they look?
Oh, it depends if you're looking at a picture or meeting the person, doesn't it?
Well, you're very shallow, aren't you?
What you want to do.
You're very shallow. For me, I like to form long-term relationships.
Well, it depends whether you're looking for the sticky end game or not, surely.
Again, you're shallow too.
Okay.
The shallowness.
If you're looking at a picture of an attractive woman, then she's attractive at all ages. I agree.
Are we going to discuss the printer drivers?
Oh, let's discuss Lexmark printer drivers so Andy can pop his load. Go on, Andy.
I'm just saying, it's, you know, there's a place, but not in a week where new printer drivers have been released. I mean, other things might happen. There might be like someone might leave an iPhone in a bar or something, but, you know. Guys.
Well, that was last week, though, wasn't it?
I suppose we should have done this last week.
Back to the iPod. We were talking about the iPod Touch.
Touch is 4 years old, yeah. Thank you, Don.
I've seen rumours that a 3G iPod Touch is on its way very soon as well. Now, that would be interesting.
Now, I said that weeks ago, and you all gave me grief over it. I said, a data-enabled iPod Touch, and you all went, no, don't talk out your arse, Rankin.
Don't remember that.
No, oh, that's so... chat room, back me up. I said a data-enabled iPod weeks ago.
Oh, your words predicting were, one, you mean?
Data-enabled iPod would be just like having a 3G iPhone.
No, that was at the bash where Steve Naber said there's going to be a 3G enabled iPod Touch, and someone said, well, wouldn't that be an iPhone? And then about a week later, I said, oh no, data enabled. It kind of twigged, it clicked, you know, add two and two, added up and got five.
So and you, lot, you just copied someone else and passed it off as your own.
I stood on the shoulders of giants, I grant you that, maybe. But it was, I mentioned it, and I think I said it last week as well as. That's so unfair.
If I'd have been awake, I'd have said, what a fantastic idea. No.
Oh, McAllister's gone from being the one that's quiet and reserved and nice to being Mr. Take the Piss today.
No, not at all. No, honestly, I can't remember even discussing that, because I think a 3G iPod Touch would be fantastic. I always thought they wouldn't do one because it would cannibalize the iPhone sales, though, to be honest, because it would, in effect, just be like an iPhone, but without the, you know, the phone part of it, and literally that's all I use my iPhone for. It's nice to have the iPhone bit now and again, you know, the actual phone, but I hardly use it as a phone. I use it mainly as a handheld device, you know, and as we see more and more of these other applications that enable us to do voice, and also another big thing with iOS 5 is the introduction of messaging as well. So, you know, you don't need SMS, you don't need the phone carriers for SMS. You've got Apple messaging now, which will work on an iPod Touch if you had 3G. Interesting.
And if you remember, Storm Gorelli, like I said last week, that would be the iPad Nano then. Uh-huh.
Okay. No comment.
Uh-huh.
Trouble remembering 2 days ago. So.
How about iPad 3 batteries?
What about them?
Well, they've devised some new technology I was reading the other day, so they're going to be sort of half the width. Not the width, the depth. So they think they'll be able to make the iPad 3 considerably thinner again.
Ooh.
And I also think this technology is going to increase the battery life quite a lot as well. So that could be quite interesting. But, you know, I was thinking about it. Isn't the iPad then going to get to a stage where, you know, you've got something that's of a certain size that literally you could snap over your knee because it's going to be so thin? You know, it's okay having a thin phone, but the actual factor of it is small enough not to be able to break. But, you know, you've got something of that size, it's obviously got more leverage on it. So it's going to come a point where they're either going to have to toughen the thing up because the insides are so thin. So therefore, are they going to have to make it glass to make it tougher than the plastic? But they do think they're going to be able to make it a lot thinner than the new iPad.
I wouldn't really want them to make the iPad much thinner, because when it went from the original iPad to the iPad 2, I felt that was that was just far enough, because the original iPad has some heft to it, you know, it feels good in your hand. Whereas, to be honest, the new iPad 2, it does feel a lot thinner, and it does feel a lot more fragile. And to make it even more thinner, I don't know if I'd actually want them to do that, to be honest.
I suppose it gives them the option to put bigger processors, etc. in it, because they'd be able to physically fit them in. But you could have a dual processor rather than a dual core. You could have a sort of a quad core iPad, couldn't you? Because you've got all that space inside. But also, I suppose if you leave some space inside the iPad, the thing would keep cooler. Therefore, it would run slightly more. You could push the processors.
Only if you got a vent.
They don't like vents, though, do they? They really don't like vents.
Don't blame them.
But I mean, you've got holes in it anyway for earphones and various things. They could vent through that.
Well, there's a couple of comments in the chat room. First one is from Sarah saying that's because of the headphone plug change that Apple have patented. There's a patent application this week for changing in headphone plugging. And if they made the iPad thinner, it would be an offensive weapon. Did you see the video of someone chopping carrots with a MacBook Air?
Yeah.
I had no idea the MacBook Air was that sharp. That's got to be a fake.
No, I bet you could do that. It is very, very thin at the end.
Sharp. Adobe are laughing as well, because apparently Final Cut Pro 10 has boosted their sales.
Yeah, well, it would say that, wouldn't it? Yeah.
And they've just brought out a new product today as well. Oh, there's a surprise.
Did you talk about the fact that the you know, Apple will have, I take it, it's not a fake, that the, you know, the old Final Cut Pro, is it Final Cut? No, I can't remember what the Apple one
is. That had happened last week.
Yeah, I was busy.
Yeah, but 7 came back, didn't it? And it's still £1,000, $1,000.
Well, I suppose they're saying, okay, you want to have it, but you're not going to get the price reduction that we've done on the new one.
Well, Don, you said last week that it's old stock.
Yeah, I read that it's only available if you phone in, so you can't actually buy it from the Apple store, and they're just shifting, you know, old stock, because obviously the old package, although the last one, I think they cut down on the packaging quite a bit, but they've obviously got, you know, tons of these already made up, so they were just shifting them. I don't know how long that's going to be for, but I think it's good if you are a video shop and you just want to get a couple of extra copies just in case, you know, you expand or whatever, you can actually go and do that now, whereas you couldn't do that before. But it is a little bit expensive, £1,000.
It's an admission, though, isn't it? They've never done it before, ever. They never said, okay, here comes whatever, Logic 9.
Well,
they
did with iMovie, didn't they? They put iMovie HD sort of available for a free download for people who didn't like when iMovie went across to the new iMovie.
So
they've never brought the product back. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, I mean, it is an admission that Final Cut 10 isn't. It doesn't work for everybody. And I think it's... We talked about it before. It's it's not designed for professionals, is it? It's designed for sort of keen amateurs.
No, I think it's a work in progress. I mean, you can still use it in a professional capacity. There's still tons of stuff under the hood that you can get into and be very use it in a very sophisticated fashion. But there are still bits that they're still working on that, you know, do exclude it from some pro shops, and that's what they're working on. And it probably won't be till the next two or three versions before, you know, it's fully featured. I saw a great video a couple of weeks ago when someone actually laid out the roadmap for Final Cut, you know, the original Final Cut Pro, the one that everyone's up in arms about. When that came out, that was exactly the same. It had half the features missing, and it took them about 7 revisions before they actually got to, you know, the Final Cut Pro 7. You know, they added in and folded in stuff as they went along, and they've got to do the same with Final Cut Pro 10. They couldn't just create a brand new application from scratch with that much functionality built in on a completely new architecture.
That's good though, Don. But let's okay. Well, I'm really happy. I mean, you do obviously a very popular video podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I really like the idea that you're so keen on Final Cut 10. That's brilliant. What version of Final Cut do you use for your
podcast? I use both Final Cut 10 and Final Cut 7, but predominantly.
You bloody lie! You use Final Cut 7.
I use Final Cut Pro 7 for the main video, and then I use Final Cut Pro 10 for my trailers.
Right. Yeah. So the sort of the
easy headshot.
The dribble that comes out the dog's bum at the end is the...
Oh, no. And to be honest, I you know, the amount of functionality in Final Cut Pro 10, I probably could use it for my main work, but amount of effort it would take for me to actually relearn it and...
You do tutorials on it.
Yeah, I know. No, but you get into a certain, you know, a certain rhythm. There's certain things that you do that become sort of, you know, muscle memory, and there are certain things I've got already set up as templates and things like that, and it would be a lot of work to actually redo all that to use in a new package, and it's just not worth my while doing it yet, but eventually I will have to do it, but I just haven't got the time to actually spend to sort of convert myself across.
This sounds very dodgy. It sounds very... Avid, mate, that's where you'll be.
Nah.
That's where you'll be.
Don McAllister, sponsored by Avid.
Yeah. Okay, so the point that I brought up Final Cut Pro 10 and 7 for, right, was just to bring in saying, you know, Tim Cook now being the new boss, and we're saying, well, isn't it unusual that they're sort of doing different things? Well, I think if I were Tim Cook, and I think Tim Cook himself thinks, because I said it, that he's got to be seen to not be Steve Jobs, because we've all said for the last X, Y, Z, well, when Steve leaves, what's going to happen? And the only way Tim Cook can make a real place for himself is to make sure he's not Steve Jobs. So, you know, people, he'll want to leave in however many years' time saying, and they'll say, oh, who's going to be the next Tim Cook? And the best one way to do that is to not be Steve Jobs. So he gives $10,000 per, you know, US employee to charity. Then he says, okay, well, look, we're going to be known as Apple being a nice company again. Because, you know, they went through being nice to being known as not so nice, and now he wants to be nice again. And I think if you look into the future, people are going to have to catch up with Apple at some point. If they don't manage to, if Microsoft don't manage to sue Amazon out of producing this new pad, then, you know, if Amazon, it's very noisy. Amazon's going to
Andrew,
be,
any chance you could shut up?
I can't hear it. Sorry.
Oh. We've got all of your conversation on video and all of your maracas.
What conversation?
With your wife going out the door. Unless it's your girlfriend, of course, but then we'll keep quiet. Don't worry. We're all mates together here.
So Tim Cook has got to be seen to not be Steve Jobs. So I think there's going to be a few more...
crap products.
Well, not even crap products. I think there's going to be a few more un-Apple-like behaviours.
Do you think he's putting more of a human face or starting to put more of a human face on the company? You know, like a softer Apple.
Interim. He's interim. He won't be lasting long.
He's interim.
So he's giving money away like this.
Interim.
No.
Old Fatty Phil or one of the others will take over.
Yeah, here's a question for you then. When this announcement, which the late, which I'll pull them up about that they're actually, you know, they're late with this event, who's actually going to walk out on stage to do the initial announcement?
Fatty Phil.
Nah.
I'm going to say, my money's on Phil Schiller or Forstall.
Well, no, I don't. I think Cook will make an appearance.
Just
to do the business stuff.
He'll do the spreadsheets. He'll be good at that.
Yeah, and then he'll hand over to Phil Schiller if it's a Mac, or he'll hand over to Forstall if it's iOS. I'm not sure about the iPhone though.
Drew in the chat room's pointed out he's got the world's most successful company. Why would he change things? And he's also got $318 million in options. Maybe he might stay. Good point.
No, I'm not saying I'm not saying he's going to leave. What I'm saying, he's an interim chap until they find somebody good.
He is, you know.
He's an accountant. He's good at accounts and stuff like that. But he's no visionary. He's got zero personality. Am I being a bit hard on him here? I'm sure he's a lovely man. but you do need a performer for Apple. And Fatty Phil's not the guy. The other chap. The guy you don't, that you don't trust. He's not the chap either.
I think you're being a bit harsh because I mean the guy has actually run the company probably for the last 12 months. Although Steve has been there in various capacities, you know, he was on sick leave for 6 months last year, and Tim Cook ran the show, and then he's been on sick leave for 8 months this year, and again Tim Cook's been running the show. So I think, to all intents and purposes, Tim Cook has been running Apple probably for the last 18 months to 2 years. So
you don't see him on stage. He's not a leader. I mean, the reason you're pointing that out is because we didn't realize that he's running the company, because he's like he's dull. There it is. There's the word dull.
I reckon he should do. The first thing he needs to do is, because when Steve Jobs came back to Apple, the first thing he did was get up on stage with Bill Gates, and Bill Gates handed him a check and said, "Here's some money." And everyone went, "Oh, Bill Gates is saving Apple." I think that Tim Cook should stand up with Bill Gates and give him the check back. Say, "Here's your money back, Bill."
Fantastic idea.
Not Bill, but boom.
Kaz in the chat room has written something here, and I've read it four times now, and I can't work it out. It's not the job of the CEO at Apple to be a visionary. Jobs was one off until it needs a team to do the same job as Jobs.
I agree.
There's more jobs in there than I could work out in a sentence. That's like double negatives, isn't it?
No, because I was just thinking, like, we're saying Apple need another Steve Jobs. They need this exciting performer. Well, why? There's enough successful companies in the world that don't have Steve Jobs. It's not the only way to be successful. Possibly just having the best hardware and the best software in the world might just be enough.
Drew, our resident historian, has pointed out that Tim did the State of the Mac address at the keynote a few years ago and did a good job.
True. And he's also the lead spokesperson when they do the earnings calls every quarter. And if ever you've listened to one of those, he's very quick thinking. He's very fast on his feet and can answer questions very, very quickly. I don't know. He might have been receiving coaching for the past 2 years to prepare him for, you know, the day came when Steve does step down and they needed a figurehead to actually go in front. But, you know, I can't see it being a problem for him to just get up and do the first 10 minutes of the next keynote.
You got to say, if you're paying $31 million for someone over 10 years, you kind of want them to be fast on their feet and thinking, don't you?
But no, well, the guy's a genius. I mean, yeah, operationally, he's, and I've always said it's always been amazing to me how things like the iPad, which there was no market for, how they could come to market and produce it in secret and then sell tons and tons and, you know, just about keep up with the production. It's amazing how he actually has managed to sort of build the infrastructure and put in place all the logistics to actually supply all this kit that they make. And that's all down to Tim Cook. It's him that's been, you know, the figurehead of that particular part of the operation.
Sorry, I was just going to say, you never know. In a couple of years' time, you could possibly find that Tim Cook has been doing a lot of the things that we've inadvertently given Steve Jobs the credit for.
Well, there's an interesting comment in the Terram here where Gaz is saying one person can't replace Steve Jobs. I tell you what, I reckon my dad could. You don't want to do it like that. Oh, no. That's all Steve Jobs has done.
But, you know, you get a new king, you know, long live the king and all that. Even if he agreed with the previous king to make himself, you know, have a future, he has to be different.
Yeah.
So the fact that Tim Cook is not Steve Jobs is a positive, and it will be a positive for Apple in the long run too, because you just cannot carry on doing the same, being the same company. Because
it's actually proved that, and I've read several articles, and I did think it myself a while ago, but I didn't think it was nice to sort of point out. But in some respects, Steve being around at the company has actually depressed the stock price for quite a while because, you know, investors and
nerves.
Stock market, they were really, really nervous about what's going to happen the day Steve Jobs leaves Apple. And don't forget, he hasn't left Apple yet. He's just the chairman now, not the CEO. But the day he leaves, you know, stock's going to tank, the world's going to fall apart. And a lot of people actually have been very nervous about Apple with Steve being at the helm. Now he's stepped down. Actually, the stock has actually bounced and people are a lot more confident moving forward because they haven't got that uncertainty of what's going to happen when Steve Jobs leaves, because again, to all intents and purposes, he has actually left, although he's still the chairman of the company. He's moved down from his sort of figurehead role. So in some respects, Steve has actually been...
a shackle around their neck.
Yeah. Why didn't he go sooner, you know? No.
He was the Millennium Bug.
Do you remember back in the day?
Terrified of it.
Go ahead, Will.
I was going to say back in the day, remember when they went from OS 9 to OS 10 and they brought a coffin out on stage? Do you remember that?
No.
Yeah, I remember. I don't remember it at the time, but I've seen video of it.
Do you think they'll do the same with Steve?
Oh, easy.
Don't you think there's like a weird thing about tech companies that doesn't happen with any other company?
It happens with finance companies.
I mean, in any other market, you've got like, if you go into the high street, there's like supermarkets, and we've got Tesco's, and there's Sainsbury's, and Asda, and then other ones as well. And if you go like the shoe shops, there's shoe shops. And, you know, there's Ford, and Ford exists with Volkswagen and whatever, and they're all big companies and they all exist in the space. But ever since Microsoft kind of had 98% of the desktop market, the mindset for tech companies is if you don't totally dominate the space, you're not succeeding. So it's like everyone sees Microsoft as being on the back foot and losing because their market share is going down. You know, Explorer's
despite
market
the
share
fact
goes
it's
down.
Still 78% or something.
Yeah, exactly. And you've got, you know, whatever tech product is, like Google in search, Google have like 80%, 90% of search. That's how it goes. If they start to slip, they're failing. You know, and Apple, the iPad has got 85, 90% of the tablet market. If that starts to slip, it's failing. What is it about the tech space that a company can only succeed if they totally and utterly dominate the whole space they're in? Why is it the only industry where having 30% of the market share is bollocks? You know, why can't, you know, Microsoft and Apple and Google, Chrome, why can't they all have around 20% of the market and all be fantastically successful companies? It's like a weird mindset thing that, well, if you're a tech company, if you're not like the company and screwing everyone else, then you're losing. Weird.
It's true. That is true. It does do that. Yes. I'm not sure what the answer is to your question, but it does do that. You're right.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, Apple are a great company, and I think, you know, it could be that we stop saying, you know, it should be viewed that if in 10 years' time the iPad only is one in three tablets is an iPad, then that's bloody brilliant. If one in three tablets is an Android tablet or whatever, then that's brilliant. You know, you've done really well. You've cornered 30% of a global market, and that's excellent. It's just a weird tech thing. I don't know.
Mm.
Well, it's also because it's quite new, isn't it? You've got X amount of car companies, but that's because there's been X amount of car companies for, well, getting on for 100 years. There's been quite a few car companies. Technology companies.
You sound like an expert there.
Well, there you go. Technology companies, it's all relatively new, isn't it? I mean, Apple become big because they think of something new. That's why Apple have been, you know, are eating into Microsoft now. But, you know, whereas you've got cars and banks and retail, that's all been going for ages and ages. And I think we believe we understand that, but we're all still a little bit in, I don't know if we're in awe. Well, we are in awe because we're doing BagelTech Mac, but I don't know if we feel we don't understand enough about it. So we just want, almost we want heroes in technology, but we don't need heroes in other...
In food production.
Yeah, I don't care if it's Heinz baked beans or somebody else, but I do care if it's a shiny new iPhone or not. We do. We sort of try and get heroes. I mean, like Steve Jobs, I mean, I've said some things about him, you know, that people didn't like, and they are mortally offended. Like I've spoken about a member of the family. Oh, mate, the kicking
I've got. I have had it from all angles the last couple of weeks. I've been criticising Apple over stuff, and I've got hate mail from the Mac boys, and I've got hate mail from the Windows boys telling me I'm a Mac fan. There is no winning there, and it is polar opposites. And people that are Mac fanboys are viciously fanboyish. There's hardly anyone that's got any sensible middle ground in their head. It's really is polarized.
So, you know, in tech wise, we all have heroes. It's, for instance, if you look like a BagelTech, yeah, I'm just looking down here. You've got now your wonderful BagelTech Formula One, because it is cars, but it's the top end of tech. So you've got heroes in your car. You don't necessarily have people that really want to be a Ford Fiesta owner's hero club, you know? But you do have people that have got a Ferrari or Porsche. So, you know, the top end, we all have heroes as long as we feel like it's a technology thing. And we also feel cleverer, don't we? You feel clever if you've got a Mac or you've got a faster car or you fly an aeroplane. You feel special. And we do. I don't know. Is it hero-wise?
Owning a Mac is a Ferrari. There we go.
The thing that annoys me, though, sort of going back to Andrew's point, is this: every time a new phone comes out, you know, this phone is going to kill the iPhone. And it's not. And even if it, you know, it can't kill the iPhone. And to be honest, Apple aren't really that concerned, I don't believe, because they've managed to, you know, be the most profitable PC manufacturer for decades by producing, you know, something that's only got 10% of the market share. So, you know, when a new phone comes out and it's going to be the next iPhone killer, you know, so they can easily take up 20% of the market and still not touch what Apple's profitability. So it just drives me to insane when I see all this rubbish about, you know, the next Apple killer or the next Mac killer or the next iPhone killer. It's just a complete, well, I won't say the word, so you don't have to edit at this point.
It's all right. Weekend's gone. Who cares? What I love about this show is the fact that every time we get a soundbite from Andrew, we get sound as well in the background. The dog bite goes along with it. Sarah has given us a link for the change to the plug for 3.5mm jacks. And basically, they've split it right down the centre of the pole and claimed that that's the way forward. So that's going to be proprietary listening equipment again, all over again. Get stuffed, Apple. You do that and you've really lost me. Have we got any other news we want to talk about?
Printer drivers.
Lexmark printer drivers. Get it out of your system, Andrew. Come on, let's have it. What's special about these then?
Well, there's loads of 260 updated printer drivers from Lexmark. It's like, what can you do? I mean, if you've got a Lexmark printer and it's connected to your Mac and you press print, then it probably prints.
Stop.
That's more than I get with my Epson printer driver since Windows, whatever this is. What is this? Lion? Yeah, Windows.
Windows Lion.
Windows Lion. There you go.
There's a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Oh, yeah. Ewan said that. That's terrible.
Right. What's your rant then, Andrew? Because you said you had a rant at the start.
Oh, no. Yeah, we were discussing in the ever superbly successful inaugural Cotswold Mac User Group meeting on Wednesday.
Thank God it didn't break into a fight. An old lady would have been able to break it up.
Oh, no, we're all pretty tough. we would have smacked her down, I can tell you. There would have been old lady all over the floor. And Will can keep
give me a piece of old lady.
Feel free to get excited at this point, Will.
Okay. philosophical thought, wasn't it, really? You know, time and the body and all that.
Yes.
It was anyway, a serious point.
One of my customers, he just spent a load of money on a 27-inch Thunderbolt iMac, which is like not cheap, and an iPhone and an iPad. So he's got all the stuff, which comes, you know, £2,500 worth of stuff. And it suddenly occurred to him, he was at the Cornhole market, and he was saying, it's ridiculous. I can't sync my iPhone and my iPad and my Mac without connecting them together. And I thought to myself, of course you can. You can go and get Mobile Me and you can sync. And then I went, you can't get Mobile Me, can you?
No.
And he was like, you're telling me that I've spent £2,500 on this stuff and it won't talk to each other without me having to bloody connect it to each other. I was like, yeah, that's true. And he was really upset. And I'd never occurred to it that, you know, they're still selling these things like beans. And people are going, oh, no, how do we calendar syncing? And obviously you can get, you know, Google into the mix and you can blag it up. But I was just like really annoyed that it occurred to me to be really annoyed that Apple had canned new Mobile Me subscriptions and not left anything to pick up the slack for new customers.
I mean, the interesting thing as well is that if you look at the moment with iCloud, I've signed up for iCloud. I've transferred my Mobile Me account over. And I've got the issue now that I've got two machines that are running Lion, and I've got another one that's running Snow Leopard, and there's no way of getting anything from the Lion computers to the Snow Leopard computer because I can't put iCloud on the Snow Leopard computer. And the interesting thing will be when there's an announcement within the next couple of weeks whether there'll be a route to putting and tying my data into Snow Leopard, because as far as I'm aware, iCloud at the moment is Lion only for sure for all devs. Whether it's going to be a commercial version with Snow Leopard, you would have thought they'd have put it out in beta or something for testing by now.
Anyone know? It's bonkers that all of the user base that isn't going Lion straight away is going to like look at iCloud and still not be able to sync. It's nonsense.
Tell them Google. I've moved my domain to Google. Britishmat.com is now with Google. It's $5 a user per. Is it a month or a year? I can't remember. I think it's a year. No, it's a year, I think. It's not a lot of money anyway. And it's wonderful. So all my email, it still goes to the BritishMat.com domain, but it's via Google, and I've moved everything away from MobileMe. Because exactly what you say, it's there's no cause for Apple users except for the wonderful Google. Try it. It's wonderful. It's great. Really
works. Google Sync is great.
Yeah, Google does my email and everything. You know, they've got my domain as well, and it's absolutely faultless. It's really good. The only problem with doing it across the system is that the syncing with the address book is woeful in Google. So, but I did have a client who managed to lose all of his Mobile Me contacts twice the other week after Apple helpfully, he turned his Mac on and he looked at his calendar and saw all three of his calendars on his Mac and his PowerBook all just vanish in front of his eyes. Everything just go blank. And it's like, oh, it's another client that doesn't like Mobile Me. Join the
Just to let you know, we've got some anonymous people in the chat room who shall remain nameless because of the NDA, but they're saying that Snow Leopard is going to have iCloud as well as, but it just isn't there at the minute. One of them's posted a story about there being a suggestion that's going to be in iCloud. Robert in the chat room has said he's going to go to a meeting this evening of the Karlstad Mac user group, which sounds so much sexier, doesn't it? And that's going to involve him sitting on the sofa, drinking beer and talking about Macs to his wife. If I talk to my wife about Macs, I'd get my face slapped.
And the other thing that me and Drew have been twittering about is this bloody, it really is getting on my nerves.
No, Andrew, you know when I said about the anonymous bit for people, just in case, you weren't supposed to say their name afterwards.
This is another bit, not the anonymous bit. This is another bit. I'm just saying my other rant was because there was on the chat room, Drew was saying your rant was about the save as thing. That was the other rant, was the fact this. No, my wife is thoroughly ticked off with the way that save as has disappeared from her pages and stuff for no reason at all.
Hang on a minute now, because I'm going to go and I'm going to agree to a certain degree, because I think changing the conventions of 35 years is really stupid. The scrolling on the mouse is one of them and the save as thing is the other. However, once you get yourself out of the mindset of I want to do save as after I've started a document, and when you start editing it, you just go duplicate and then you change the file name in Finder, that is save as. And you get all the versioning that goes along with that as well, which is superb.
But it's even better though, because if I'm going to use a document that So I've got a document saved. I do it every week with the newsletter. I've got a pages document that I use as a template for my newsletter. I always open it up and say, right, I'll open this up. And then before I edit it, I'll save it. And then, you know, I can create a new version. But what I do now is open it up, start typing, think, oh, I meant to save this. And then if you hit, is it save? Not save a version, the other one, duplicate. It comes up and says, okay, we'll make you a duplicate, but do you want to revert the one you're working on now back to the original? So hit yes, and you've got your original document on your Mac untouched, and you can carry on with the copy. I think it's really nice the way they've implemented it. Once you get your head out of the...
It's a state of mind.
Save as,
absolutely. Yeah. I think it's right. I think it's a better way forward. I don't think the scrolling is. I mean, having one computer on Snow Leopard and the other one on, and two others on Lion, it's driving me mental.
Get a reverse scroller.
I know. I just can't be bothered.
Go on, tell us about that bit of software again, Don.
Reverse scroller.
Go on.
Yeah. Is that one of your...
is that your pick? It's
my pick from a while ago, wasn't it? That I'd picked a couple of weeks earlier.
You talk about it every bloody week. You love it.
No, we don't.
Obsessed with it, man.
No.
Leave it alone. Leave your reverse scrolling alone.
I wanted to task you about something, Green, as well. You recommended Levelator the other week, yes?
I sorted it and then sort of went against it because I said...
Well, that's the same as all your picks, so that doesn't count.
All right.
You say all your picks are fantastic until the following week. Well... I listened to your podcast last week on the way down to Southampton, and there's no way on God's green earth your podcast's been near Levelator.
Dynamic frequencies, old man.
What, you mean you're quiet and everything's loud?
How dare you, sir? No, I don't put my music through it. In fact, I don't put anything through it. No, I agree with you. Yes, there's no way that
You need to listen back to your podcast before you publish it, mate, because you're like a church mouse, and then the banger bit comes in, and I nearly lost my earpiece.
Well, I'll tell you the reason why that was. If you want to know the truth, the last one
you can't
was done in
the truth.
Blooming Garage Band.
Oh, really? Massive ducking.
Oh, it was horrible. It was a horrible experience. So the next one, I've dual booted my Mac now so I can record it. I just thought I'd give it a go because I haven't used it in years. And I thought I'd give it a go, save dual boot and all that business, but it was terrible. Even Johnny Walker had a go at me levels, so I don't need you ranking.
Well, I mean, his opinion is far more valid than mine.
Oh, anyway, there you are. Yeah, so that was the problem with that one. It was GarageBand.
Totally good. Lots of people are having inaugural LMUG meetings this evening, and they're all going to be at their local IKEA store or home sofa. So I think we'll have one here in Birmingham as well. Have we got any cool thingies?
Yeah.
Dono, what have you got for us, pal?
Go on, and I'll do an old faithful application that I've been using for years and years and years, but it's now on the Mac App Store, and it's at a good price as well. It's 1Password, which is the password manager. Yeah,
it's half price as well, isn't it?
Fantastic. Yeah, they've got it at a 50% discount. So even if you've bought 1Password, and I'm sure most people have, what I would suggest is to go across and just buy another copy. It's 50% off, but it's also going to give you a free upgrade to iPassword, I think version 4 when it comes out, which is only going to be available through the Mac App Store. So just treat it instead of treating it as though you're buying a second version of 1Password, and of course you can use this on all your machines once you buy it through the Mac App Store, just treat it as though it's you're paying for the iPassword 4 upgrade now, and just go across to the Mac App Store and buy it. I don't know how long it's going to be on the Mac Store for 50% off the regular price. It just says for a limited time. So hopefully it will be for the next week or two, but I couldn't recommend it highly enough. And I've installed a version off 1Password. There are a few limitations, but nothing that's going to really trip anybody up. They're very minor limitations. If you have your 1Password data on Dropbox, you install the new version, it picks it up. Seamless, very, very, very nicely put together. And
I couldn't recommend it highly enough, so I picked it a few weeks ago.
Oh, did you? Oh, that was before it was on the Mac App Store, though.
And Steve Neighbour picked it last night
on
the big show. It's very popular. It's a very good application. A family license is going to cost you $69.99. So that's five computers. Mm. Single user license, $40. So, well,
yeah, but it's on the Mac App Store, but it's only 14 quid, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, it's $13.99.
That's half price then at the moment. That's right.
British pound, yeah. And there's no family license because once you've bought it, you can put it on any machine you want through the Mac App Store.
You can put it on your five, of course, yes. Your five, what's it?
Indeed.
I've just pulled up the Mac App Store and I've sat there typing in 1Password in the search box without looking to the left and realising that actually the 1Password advert was there to start with. $13.99, 1Password, your online storage and identity companion. There we go. Rightio, well done. Have you got anything for us, Alex?
Come back to me in a minute, because I did, but I can't find where it is. So,
Andrew, what have you got for us, mate?
Right, we did have a sort of thing a while ago about running your antiviruses on your Mac, and Sophos, you know, obviously Bruce Graham and Sophos, very good on the Mac. I've stopped using it because it was okay, but it just, a lot of the stuff it picked up was it couldn't, you had to go and manually do it, and it, and if anyway.
On the word though from Sophos is that that's changing or changed.
Okay, well, I'll be prepared to go back to them for that. But a friend of mine from locally, a Mac user of long standing, and some other people, all Mac users as well, which is the Mac Connection, have come up with a nifty solution, which is it's cross platform because it's web based, but if it's called stopbadstuff.com. And the website is www.stopbadstuff.com.
You don't say.
Yeah, I don't. I do say. Yes, I do say. Yes, I do. And yes, I think I did say.
Real-time instant protection, no more downloads or updates, all-in-one solutions, no impact on speed, and completely found protection.
It's browser-based. It's the first browser-based antivirus and Trojan solution that it puts a proxy in between you and the internet, and it streams everything through their servers, so the virus stuff and all the Trojan protection is bang up to the second. The heavy duty stuff like the iPlayer, it hands back off to you. Other stuff actually you get faster than you would because it's cached, and it just seemed like a really nice solution for a lot of my clients who are like, install and what, keep up to date, what do it's like, well, no, just do this. And it's not, doesn't touch your email, but everything else that streams into your Mac gets virus scanned outside of your purview, and I thought that was quite smart.
Very good, excellent choice. Will, what have you got for us, mate? Though I dread to ask.
Yeah, no, nothing either. Scroll Reverser is great. It's a free program. I'll tell you what you could do, Don. You could get your magic trackpad thing and turn it around the other way around, you know, sort of twizzle it around by 90 degrees, and then job done.
You could do, but then left and right's wrong. Up and down, left and right.
Yeah.
God, you think of everything, Don.
I tried it. No.
It's two, but neither of them are applications, I'm afraid. The first one, though, is if you go to, I can't remember the name now. What is it? Is it Dead Haunted? I'm sure that's what it is. What the hell is
God,
it?
God, I love preparation.
I'm sure it's Dead Haunted. Suppose.uk. And as you, if you're a regular listener to this, you will know that I'm very into the paranormal and stuff like that. Got together.
Will, what has gone on, mate? You're being haunted.
Ooh, we said paranormal and suddenly it all went funny.
Have you got Stutter Me, that new application from the Mac App Store? Or Cylon Me?
Silent Me.
He's gone.
I'm still here, on.
Oh, you're there. Yeah, go on, right, carry on.
You see? The paranormal. Who knows?
Proof indeed, yes.
Mysteries. What mysteries? Where did we get to?
I have no idea, mate. You just carry on. Just say the next thing that comes into your head. Maybe not, don't.
Phil Wyman, who was one of the leaders of Most Haunted, one of the big ones, used to do a book. It cost $14.99, but if you go to deadhaunted.co.uk, it's available as an ebook for free download, and it's really good if you're into the paranormal, full of pictures and ghost hunting tips and tricks, and it's a real great book, totally free. Don't know how long it's going to be available for, but I've actually nothing to these people. I read it, and it's a really good book, and it is worth every of the free. Go on.
You're ghosting your house, mate. Ain't look unhappy about the book at all. It doesn't want you to broadcast cast this in the slightest.
Was
I'm breaking up left, right, and centre, mate.
It's who knows? Okay, but check out the podcast as well, Dead Haunted podcast. If you do a search of that, Dead Haunted, it's a great podcast.
Well, the ghost does agree with that, then that's fine. Alex, what have you got for us, mate?
Well, I can't find the exact thing that I wanted to look at, which is a fright shame. But I just to let you know, quite recently, I was looking for another monitor, an extension monitor, if you like, on my Mac. And I remembered that in my roof, I had some of my old Sony monitors, which I paid an awful lot of money for. And just to let you know that I plugged it in, didn't do any calibrations or anything, and my Sony monitor, which is probably 5 or 6 years old, it's only a 22 inch, I think it is. I'm looking at it now. I plugged it in, the color calibration was spot on and exactly the same as the screen on the Mac. And just to say that, you know, people looking for monitors, external monitors, I know they've come down in price a lot, but I can heartily recommend, if you can get hold of, you know, obviously in a good condition, an old, well, the one I'm using is an SDM range, but if you can get one of the old Sony monitors, I think they're the old Vieira type, is that what they were called? Or Vegas, I can't remember. But anyway, the color reproduction on the Mac is absolutely excellent. So I'm going to recommend that. Because it saved me £400 buying a new monitor.
Excellent.
Is that CRT or TFT?
It's TFT, but it was one of the early ones.
What was the name of the monitor again?
Well, it's an SDM range. It's SDMHS something. I don't know what the end is because I can't see it. But, I reckon I paid £400 for that. But that was when monitors cost a lot of money, and now obviously monitors are a lot more mass produced, the flat panel. So I would go with it. I would definitely have a look, and it's called a Vio, that's what it's called, because I can see it on here.
Yeah, Vieira's Panasonic's a series.
Yeah, so it's a Vio. But the colour
for God's sake, Andrew, get your wife a glass of water.
Anyway, I can heartily recommend it. Apparently it came out in 2003, so that tells you the quality
should
of that monitor.
Should be a tenner on eBay now then.
Exactly, but have a look, because I'm really pleased with it.
My pick is something I got down this morning. It's really good. Filmic Pro. It's a little video application that goes on your iPhone, and what it's got is separated white balance exposure lock and separate white balance lock and exposure lock, so you can zoom in and touch on a piece of your image that you want to be the white balance and then another piece that you want to be the constant focal point and sit there and film away. And it's really, really good. You get nice depth of field effects with it as well, even at close range, and you can switch the light on and off as you want to as well, and it gives you really, really good results. Really good results. It's £2, so it's dirt cheap as well, and it's really, really nice. I've had a play this morning. Love it. There we go. Last word goes to our sponsors, UK2.net. They are the people that keep us alive. You've got to support them, please, if you possibly can. They look after us, and the more you can look after them by buying your web hosting services off them and that kind of stuff, then the happier they'll be to absorb the vast amounts of bandwidth that we consume each month. And now we've gone to video podcasts. They'll be up in the iTunes store this week. Now we've got a couple under our belt, and the bandwidth is going to go vertical. So they're very kindly, they're giving us unlimited bandwidth on the content. If you go to bageltechnews.com to start off with, that will be the best bet, because then you can scroll down to where their logo is, click on the logo, and it'll take you through to their website. When you get to their website, you can buy whatever you want, hosting services, or you can buy co-location services, anything at all. When you check out, though, two offer codes for you to use. The first one is to get 15% off all your services. That's Bagel Tech, just all one word, and you'll get 15% off. The second one is if you're transferring your domain in, there's a DNS hosting or a DNS management charge that goes along with it. But Bagel Tech listeners don't pay that. So after you've got your 15% off, type in Bagel DNS and the DNS management charge will come off as well as. You can use both codes quite happily and do yourself a great deal. So please support UK2.net. they mean everything to us because we couldn't pick up the charges on the bandwidth if they didn't support us and sponsor us. And also, if you want to support the network, two things you can do. Firstly, buy the shirts that we've got at Spreadshirt. Go to bageltech.spreadshirt.co.uk and every shirt that we sell, we get £5 for it. And the other thing you can do to help us, please, if you would, is vote for us in the European Podcast Awards. It's still running. It's going to be running till the end of November, so there's lots and lots of time to do it. But please, keep voting. If you go to the homepage, there's a little banner there. Just click on each of those shows, register a 5-star vote for us, and then you could win something as well if you've registered. But you don't have to register, and you don't have to re-register every time you vote. Just go in and click as many times as you can so we can win. Please. Have I finished everything? I think I've got a horrible feeling like I've forgotten something. But never
Where mind. Can we get a hold of you?
Where can we get a hold of you, Don?
Win, win, win.
You can get hold of me over at screencastonline.com or on the Twitters as Don McAllister.
Alex, you?
Twitter at Alex G. Fox.
Good man. Thank you very much. You'll be on the photo show with us in 20 minutes' time.
Yeah, no, better have some breakfast.
Andrew, where can we get a hold of Noisy You? Oh, and now he's got his mute on. Thanks, mate.
That's cruel. Stop
that. I'm back.
You make bloody noise all through the podcast. The one time I want you to talk, nothing. You can get hold of Andrew at Dr. Happy Dr. Mac Happy on Twitter Mac. Or Mac yeah. and Moore.
Yeah, that's me.
Right. And finally, Will, where can we get you, mate? Will. say again.
Is it gone again, is it?
It was a bit wobbly, yeah.
BritishMac.com. Twitter is BritishMac. Now, listen, European Podcast Awards.
Yeah.
Right? Don't vote for this load of old rubbish. You want to vote for British Mac. That's the way your vote wants to go.
Oh, bite the hand.
Fight.
You want to vote for British... You do want to vote for British Mac as well, actually. That's
well,
true.
I don't think I'm there anymore, you know. It seemed to have gone a bit weird.
No, it's there.
Because I wasn't... Is it? I was in the business thing, and then I know that they moved me over to the personality thing, but I can't find myself in any of them.
Well, they gave you a link, mate, when you signed up for it, and you needed to embed that link.
I never signed up for it. That's the key.
Well, you must have got the link. That's the trouble. You've lost the link. And if you've lost the link, you don't know where to send people unless they can find you. That's why we've got the link so that we can go from our website to where you vote for our shows.
Well, I can't find you.
There you go, mate. I'm going to win then.
Well, it doesn't matter.
If you're looking to vote for British Mac, I advise that you should. When you can't find it, please vote for Vageltech by going to the easy link that's provided on our website. We do all the work for you. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Don, are you on it?
I don't think so.
He's not allowed.
No, it's an audio thing, isn't it? Is it just for audio podcasts? I don't know.
It says podcast, but there's also like you can't do it if you're a business or something. So.
Oh, right. Oh, well, never mind.
So, yeah. Anyway, we'll be back again next week with a roundup of the Apple news as normal. And I'm not sure when it's going to be yet, but we're going to have a chat now and see if we can work out when. Have a great weekend. I know it's a bad weekend for a lot of people over in the US, so thoughts are with you. And I hope it's as good as it can be. See you soon.